So this is the first message of our new sermon series, The Encounter. And today we are going to talk about the problem of thirst. Thirst is not something new to us, right? At some point in your life, usually, I think it's more often in the summer as well, we may get thirsty. When the weather is really hot, when we spend the whole day outdoor having fun and then forget about water. All of a sudden, we feel dry, and then we feel thirsty. And I remember that one summer, I got to firsthand experience how thirst can get. It was the time when I was working in the kitchen in my seminary, in my school that summer. And I have this whole professional kitchen with some professional stove, which means gas stove there. And I was busy cooking all kind of stuff around the stove for the students, for the visitor. And I remember that day was particularly hot. And I didn't even get time to drink. I forget all about water. After a few hours of hard work, I really felt this thirst in me. It's not just I was thirsty, but I was drained. I felt exhausted. I felt lack of energy. And I never knew that thirst can get you to that point. And honestly, no one will push yourself to that extreme in your daily life. However, there's another kind of thirst. Deep in us, all of us, we may have experienced a thirst that's dying to be satisfied. The thirst that is not physical. The thirst lives deep in us. The thirst is in our hearts. And I call it thirst at heart. It's very similar to physical thirst. It makes you feel exhausted. It makes us feel that we are drained. It makes us feel that we can be restless, right? It's similar that it makes us feel restless and yearning to quench that thirst as soon as possible. And different people have different thirsts at heart. Some people thirst for love. Some thirst for acceptance, some thirst for recognition, some thirst for a sense of purpose, and some thirst for security. So the list can go on and on and on. However, it's different from physical thirst. A glass of water probably can help you with physical thirst, right? You drink a cup of water and you're going to be fine. But a little good things happen in life is just not enough to quench that thirst at heart. It's just like a candy to a kid. If you give one candy to a kid, he or she may be happy for a while. And when she or he ate it, she will say, "Yummy in my tummy." But after a while, maybe only take him 30 minutes, you want another one again and again and again and again and again. It's tough to quench a thirst deep in our heart. Have you ever experienced that? You seek so badly to find a way that can actually quench that thirst, that yearning forever. Let's say you want to be appreciated. So you invest a lot of money, a lot of hour, a lot of energy to try to achieve in your career. Yet, the little appreciation only lasts for a while. You want to be accepted. So you go out, you try to make a lot of friends. Right, you have a lot of friends, but you can still feel lonely. You want to be loved. So you try badly to search for your real love. However, no one can really make you feel fully loved. You want to have a life purpose. You seek everywhere. You try high and low. You want to ask the question, what is the purpose of my life? And every day you end up exhausted, dragging your body back home, and then you ask yourself, what have I done to myself? Ultimately, we want to quench that thirst at heart. There are times we are lucky enough that we can be satisfied for a little while. But may it be after a while we become thirsty again. We just want to feel more. We want to get more. It's as if you need to keep on drinking this water forever to keep you away from thirst. It is an endless cycle. Someone once said, it's just like you have a donut hole in your heart. And people told me, Canada got the best donut in the world. I'm not sure if that's true or not. Is that true? I see someone smiling, so I assume that's true. And we all are very familiar with donuts, right? There's a hole in between and in the center. And the characteristic that is that it's bottomless. There's no bottoms. So no matter what you pour into it, no matter what you fill in it, it just end up comes out from beneath. We are left with this endless, never satisfied thirst. Then there is someone telling us about this wonderful rumor about Jesus, about a loving God. Sometimes we may even have heard this hundreds or thousands of times. It sounds so wonderful that it can't be true. It's just too good to be true. For some, there are a voice in our hearts actually resisting such a wonderful rumor. For some, it's easier to believe there's a miracle food in the world than having a loving God in this universe. There's a voice in us telling us that Jesus' rumor can't be true. There can't be a loving God dying for us. The voice suggests us to just stick to our way. The voice resists Jesus even when we are told that when we are dying of this thirst at heart. And I personally heard that voice before. Have you ever noticed? I guess you have noticed. There's a lot of signs outside church building, right? Or this sign reminding us of some good saying of God. And before I became Christians, I often passed by a lot of this sign in Hong Kong. And the Hong Kong version is like humongous. It's just painted outside the wall building. And you can even see that it's like 2 or 3 or 5 blocks away. You see it clearly. And I remember one said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The voice in my heart was saying, come on, no way. Does he even know me? Does he know what I want actually? How can he know what I need? How can he actually honestly satisfy me? And that was me. I tried every means to satisfy this thirst for acceptance, the thirst for recognition, the thirst for love. I tried to achieve no matter it's study or work. I tried so hard that I often felt stressed. I often have this stomach ache in me. I try so hard that no matter how many times I tell myself, come on, Sharon, relax. And the stress just came back to me once after another. I try to cheer myself up. But every time, it's just good for a few days. And afterward, I have all this feeling in me again. I felt so thirsty. I felt drained. I felt exhausted. I was dying. I was dying of this thirst at heart. Dying of an endless and never satisfied thirst. Dying of an endless and never satisfied thirst was something familiar for the Israelite in Exodus. This Israelite were slaves in Egypt. This Israelite suffered under their master. One day they couldn't bear it any longer and they cried out to God, God, help me. And God responded. God delivered them out of Egypt through different miracles and different signs. This Israelite even witnessed how God could separate the sea. And now they were in the wilderness, in a deserted area. It's dry, it's lifeless. And now they came to Exodus chapter 16. At this time, they were hungry. They started to grumble. And they complained to God for leading them into starvation. In Exodus chapter 16, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." The Israelites grumbled about their situations. They blamed God for saving them. "Why not just leave them alone? Why do you bother to save us out of Egypt and let us die here?" Right now, this Israelite started to miss the meat pot and bread in Egypt. They wanted meat. They wanted food. They regretted. They would be rather dead in Egypt than being hungry in this wilderness. And sometimes I wonder if the real issues is about sort of starvation, is about hunger. You know, when I'm hungry, honestly, I did experience that when I was really hungry. I will be fine with any food. Like even a simple baguette, like the one you get from the cheapest baguette in the supermarket, is the best food from heaven. But the Israelite here had this very specific complaint. It's almost like my daughter. You know what? She often complains that she's hungry, and then when I give her some bread, she say, "No, I want ice cream." They were complaining God for not satisfying their craving. They were thirsty, thirsting for the luxurious meats they had in the past. They were expressing their craving, this thirst at heart. And the Bible said, God listened, actually. He listened to their grumble and responded. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Said to them, at twilight, you shall eat meat. And in the morning, you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God." God didn't just give them any food, but he actually decided to respond to their craving. God decided to quench their thirst at heart. God gave them the meat and bread they wanted. And if you read on in the chapter, God actually have this long-term plan, well-planned for them for food. You think that's awesome, right? I think that's awesome. You think that's enough? You think that they might just stop complaining and start trusting God? Not really. In Exodus chapter 17, they came to a place called Rephidim. They started grumbling again. But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" They grumbled for the thirst for water. It's just common sense for us. So people get thirsty, especially when we don't have enough water, we feel thirsty. And that's nothing wrong with being thirsty. The real issue seems to be, whenever this Israelite find a need not being provided, they grumbled. Deep within, it's actually more a trust issues. They didn't trust God to provide. They didn't trust God could quench their thirst. No matter how many times they witnessed his goodness and his providence, they still did not trust his kindness. When they complained about being led to the wilderness, the problem was they even started to think God can be evil. God was planning to leave them behind and kill them. That's what's going on in their mind. That's bad. Many times when I read this story, my only response, that's really, really bad. But how about us? How about us? Aren't we the same in face of our thirst at heart? We said that this Israelite kept forgetting how God saved them, how God fed them, and now they grumble about their thirst. But for how many times do we did similar thing actually? Have we grumbled about our job? And for God, that not long ago, actually, that's what we yearned for. We want the exact job. How many times we grumble for being lonely? Doubt is God, if God will provide us a community, a loving community, and we forgot that actually we are in one. We are provided. We are not much different from them. However, no matter how bad that was, God listened and responded one more time. And Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in you your hand the staff with which you struck the nail, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elder of Israel. In response to the Israelite first, God accomplished a mission impossible. God made living water coming out from the lifeless rock. Yes, rock is lifeless. Even worse, is dry. But God has the power to make water coming out from the driest and lifeless rock. God can bring out the life in lifeless form so that his people can live. Can you see how God, what kind of God he was? God is powerful enough. He can bring out life in a lifeless form for his people to live. He can quench any form of thirst so that you can live a real life. That was a demonstration to the Israelite that nothing is impossible for this mighty and loving God. So in order for the Israelite to remember God's amazing love during this 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelites celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle every year. In this 7-day of feast, they remember God's salvation, deliverance, and providence in the wilderness. They remember how, in the deserted place, God gave living water out of this lifeless place. In a deserted place, when they were most drained and thirst, God lovingly quenched their thirst. This celebration continued all the way to Jesus' time. At Jesus' time, it's a pretty tough time to celebrate. The Israelites during Jesus' time lost their nation. They lost their home. They lost their identities. They were thirsty too. They thirst for a nation, they thirst for a home, they thirst for an identity, and they thirst for God's salvation again. But this thirst no longer physical, it's a deep kind of thirst. It's actually a thirst at heart. During a time to celebrate God's salvations, I wonder they ever ask, so when will God satisfy again? When will God quench this thirst again? And one year, it came to the peak of the tabernacle celebration. All the Israelites gathered together to praise God's providence in the wilderness. And Jesus came out and responded to the deep thirst of people, a thirst at heart. Now it came to John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. The Israelites in the past, what they witnessed and experienced, God bringing out water, living water in the lifeless wilderness. so that his people lived. That water was a source of life for survival for their ancestors. Yet, that was after all just ordinary water, H2O. But Jesus was proclaiming here, today you are going to witness something even more amazing. Jesus is going to give you a different kind of water that can quench your deepest thirst. It's a water that gives you life. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Jesus was sending out an invitation to everyone, saying, are you thirsty? Is there something you thirst for? Do you feel drained, exhausted in your life? Come to me, I have something good for you. A drink that can kill your thirst. I imagine some of the people at that time would get pretty confused. They would say, like, what was he talking about? Was he actually a hawker, like, selling bottled water outside? Maybe this is just a guy selling water, okay? But why do I have to come to you to get water? You know, I have my own bottle, and that's a well. I can get it there. Or I can get it from the convenience store just around the corner. I know one. They're having this big sales going on, so I can just go there. But is that what Jesus meant? If anyone thirsts at heart, let him come to me and drink. Jesus wasn't talking about this physical thirst. He was talking about your heart and soul. He was talking about a deeper form of thirst, the thirst at heart. If you have something, you have this thirst deep in your heart, come to me. You know that donut hole we mentioned? It never seemed to be able to satisfy it. You never can satisfy your donut hole. Everything you fill in, you just feel like slip out from the bottoms. And the thirst at heart, now, when Jesus is here, can finally be stopped. You no longer need to feel thirsty. You can finally live freely and truly again. Jesus will satisfy. Jesus once and for all can quench that thirst. For how long have you been trying hard to quench your thirst at heart all by yourself? For how long you keep searching but keep being disappointed at the end? No matter how good it seems to be at the very beginning, it's only end up being a disappointment. And then you feel all this thirst hurting in you all over again. It was me. I was that thirsty and that drained in the past. You know, I worked in a commercial field for a few years before I became a counselor and before I came here. It was a very, very stressful job. There was like 100 and million of deadline one after the others, and there were like million of projects happening all at the same time. And there was endless requests from the client. And to relieve this stress, you know what I do? I love go shopping during the weekend, my shopping time. And you know, I was living in Hong Kong, and what's Hong Kong famous for? Shopping. The heaven of shopping. This is the nickname of Hong Kong. So I was in that heaven every weekend. I shopped and shopped and shopped. I went to one shopping mall to another and to another, and then I can spend my whole Saturday there. And I got a lot of lovely clothing and bags and shoes at home, and I still find that they are lovely. And that was my reward to myself after all those hard work. It was so satisfying. We came up with this term, shopping therapy. Yeah. But the effect of this shopping therapy is only good for a few days. It's only good for a weekend. When Monday comes, when I sat down in that cubicle again, facing my computer, all that stress came back. I was drained. I was exhausted. And then I was like looking forward to another dose of this shopping therapy until I noticed that it was actually an endless cycle. You first, you find remedy, you get thirsty again. It's a thirst so deep that there's no easy way to quench it. It's a thirst so deep that we can do nothing about it. And gradually, it drinks all your energies. It makes us lifeless. Gradually, it makes our life drained and dried. Gradually, you always feel this exhaustion in your life. And then you enter this endless cycle, trying to quench that thirst, but then end up facing the thirst all over again. And then Jesus comes. Jesus invites us. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts at heart, let him or her come to me and drink. Yes, Jesus knows that you have no way to quench that thirst. Jesus knows that the thirst is hurting you, even killing you. Jesus knows that the thirst is very important for you. And here is his invitation for everyone who can hear his word. Come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. He can quench your thirst, and it isn't temporary. He has this amazing promise for you, and he doesn't only prescribe you just a different treatment. You know, as if saying like, oh, really? Shopping therapy doesn't work? I have something new. Like, try here. I have another therapy for you. This one, Jesus therapy, okay? Jesus therapy, okay? It can help you. No, this is not what Jesus said. This is not. Jesus is saying, come and drink. I can give you life. I will give you the true life. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Do you want it? It means that you don't need to look elsewhere. You don't need to seek for another shopping therapy. It means that the solutions to your thirst is in you. Jesus' living water is in you. And what you need to do is just say yes to these invitations. Open your heart for him. Give him a chance in your life. Turn off that resistant voice telling you that God isn't true. Turn off that voice. Turn that into an accepting voice. Yes, that's the sound. Yes, Jesus, that's the sound. That's it. It's just that simple. Then he will give you this living water in your life. And it isn't temporary. It's not just a glass of water. You will finish it sometimes with this glass. If God is temporary, he will just like other pagan God, like give you what you want. Okay, you want, what do you want? A home? I give you a home. What do you want? Car? Okay, I give you a car. And then that's it. No, this is not Jesus. Jesus gives you something beyond that. Jesus gives you living water. This love, never-ending eternal love in you. A new identity in you, a new sense of who you are, a new sense of purpose in you. And this is the living water, Jesus in you. It's a spring of water. It's God's love. It's Jesus in you. And you can see that spring of water is this water oozing out from it. You can keep seeing this water coming. When you say yes to Jesus, immediately, you can have this spring of water in you. You can have a source of life in you again. It means you will never be thirst again. In the past, you may have this donut hole in your heart and you constantly need to find a way to fill it up. Like when you're lonely, you try to find some entertainment, you try to call up some friend. When you feel bored, you just turn on your device and see what entertainment, what kind of Netflix there to fill up the time. But now, you won't even feel the thirst. As the living water is in you, you shall thirst no more. Jesus on that day make that invitation, and he's waiting for the yes from you. If anyone thirsts at heart, let him or her come to me and drink. It's simple. As simple as when you received a party invitations, you click on yes on the RSVP. That's it. Say yes to Jesus. Open your heart to him. Give Jesus a chance. And then Jesus will give you this, not just a way of life, but life in itself. And if you are a Christian, no, actually many Christians do. We have this wrong imagery in our heart that living water is this living, little refreshing spring of water. Yeah, this one. It seems good for refreshments. It's pretty cool. It's good enough to give us a refreshing wash on face or to cool our feet and hand after long hike up the mountain. Imagine a grouse grind. It's nice to have a spring of water there. But honestly, we wonder if it's powerful enough to actually quench our thirst, right? Right? Helpful, but not enough. If this is the imagery in our heart, today is a good time for us to revisit this imagery and experience the real power of the promise again. Read again what Jesus actually said. He said, rivers of water. I have to be very accurate about this. Rivers of water. He's saying river, but not spring. River is like that. River is much wider. River is much deeper. River is much more powerful. I remember when I first saw a river on one of our road trip, I was amazed. Like, oh, really? River is like that? It's so big. It's so wide. And all the wave is so powerful. And then Jesus is saying rivers. He's saying in a plural form, there's an S at the end. So it's not just one of this river, but many, 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 many of the living water comes to you. Many, many, many of these rivers of living water in you. Is that powerful? It's nothing trivial here. It's nothing trivial. It's very powerful. It's very strong. It's more than enough to just quench your thirst, no matter what it is. It's more than enough for one individual. I imagine it will even overflow to others, to bless others, to nurture others. And when we are just talking about this donut hole, this small hole in our heart, Jesus is talking about this rivers of living water. He made up his mind long, long time ago to quench our thirst at heart. No matter what they are, no matter how bad the thirst is, when we say yes to Jesus, once and for all, thirst can be quenched. For the first time, you don't need to keep busy seeking ways to quench that thirst anymore. For the first time, you don't need to keep yourself busy with that. For the first time, you can rest. For the first time, you can be free from the thirst. For the first time, you can decide again how to live your life. Imagine, how will you live your life differently? And Jesus' invitation is for everyone. Disregard your faith, disregard your culture, disregard your age, disregard your gender, disregard your education level, disregard your history. You are invited. If anyone thirsts at heart, let him come to me and drink. You shall be satisfied in him. And here's a personal story to wrap up today's message. In year 2008 to year 2011, I have this real life experience of what living water is truly about. I have been a Christian for many years at that time. However, my life didn't change. I lived my own way. I used my own way to satisfy my need, to quench my thirst, to achieve whatever I want to. I still relied on how capable I am more than God. And no matter how much I didn't want to admit, I was a person like that. And I remember I asked God these questions. Like, I was pretty angry one night. I said, like, why, but Lord, why? I have a lot of things I want to. I yearn for a lot of stuff, but I didn't get any. And I can see that the person next to me got everything I wanted, and I have none. I have my own family. I want my own family. But I was single. I wanted to be accepted, but I constantly felt lonely. I wanted to be recognized, but I constantly felt I was underachieved. I first fought so much, but I got nothing, and I tried so hard. It's just not fair, Lord. Until one day in the middle of the night, as if God was spoken to me that night, he said, "But, Sharon, but don't you think that you have everything when you have me?" I screamed, "Yeah, I know, right? I know." But I didn't feel it. Come on, it's so abstract. And God said, "But don't you believe that I can ultimately satisfy you once and for all?" I told God, "Yeah, I want to believe, but teach me." And here, this scriptures came to my mind. Psalms 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Remember, Sharon, when I lead you, I can satisfy you to a point that you no longer need anything else. You shall not want. Because you have me, you shall not want. You won't be first again. You won't want anything more again. Because I will fill you up with my love, with my life, with me, something better than your first, and you can be overflown. And that was Jesus' promise. That is Jesus' promise. He will fill you up to a point that you first no more. And yes, I can testify to it. It's not because God gave me everything I wanted. Everything, obviously, that's not true. But in me, that was a deep satisfaction that I know I have this loving God, this Jesus in me. He's dying for me. Deep in heart, I know that I am accepted by God. I am recognized by God. I am secure in God because it's God himself leading me and looking after me. And from that point, I can choose to live freely. I don't need to be stopped by the first. I don't need to be distracted by my first. Because God knows my first. He knows so well that he will look after that. If God in the past can get water from this lifeless rock, what honestly can stop him from providing? When a life encountered Jesus, the promise is it will truly live again. No matter how dry you are, you will have this living water in you. When a life encounters Jesus, it changes. Encountering Jesus is a life-changing event. And even till this day, even till today, the years of 2018, different lives are being changed by Jesus, the source of living water. Death can come to life. Blind can see again. And to encounter Jesus, if you really want to, if you want to give it a try, the step is very simple. Just say yes to Jesus. Open your heart to him. Give him a chance in your life and see what he will do in your life. Church, let us pray. For many of us, we have this thirst in our heart for a long, long, long time. No matter it's a thirst for acceptance, thirst for love, thirst for success, thirst for recognitions, thirst for securities. That's something, a need, a thirst in our heart that's hurting. Or that's hard to satisfy, to store. And Lord, we now bring all this thirst up to you, Lord. We believe that what you have said, if anyone thirst, come to me and drink. If today you have this voice in your heart that says you are yearning to say yes to Lord, you want to give him a try to see what he can do with the thirst, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, be in front of you. I am in front of you. And I open up my heart to you. That's this yearning, this thirst in me that has been hurting for a long, long time. And Lord, I need your help. Yes, I want to accept your invitation. I want to believe. Lord, I want to accept this living water in me, into me, so that I can be satisfied, so that I know that I have this loving God in my life who recognize me, accept me, love me so deeply that you're even willing to give up your life for me. Lord, please help me to see you, to encounter you more deeply, so that I can know that you're good, you're kind, you're merciful, you're faithful. In the name of the Lord. May Lord help us all to fill our life with your life again. Even when we are thirsty as a Christian, Lord, may your living water rejuvenate us, give us new hope and new life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.